This morning we got a special treat. We got Pastor Robinson with a double dose of offering and sermon. Yes. Pastor, we're ready for you to come and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Robinson. The right reverend is what I understand. Amen. The right reverend.
Matt called him the right reverend.
The right reverend.
Very righteous reverend.
Pastor, bishop, reverend, brother.
Thank you, Matt.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Matt. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. The children can be dismissed. Amen. I call in list. We're going to have to take our call in list off the desk. Everybody calling in, saying they won't be here. Say, don't nobody answer the phone. Must show up to be absent. Amen. God is good all the time, people. Amen. Maybe next week we'll be in full bloom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we honor you today in this portion of our service. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that he gave his body for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we receive that, accept that, and he took our place. The great exchange never shall be forgotten. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we honor you today for our giving. We thank you that we do have the mind of Christ. You have sent your word, and we have listened to your word. We have hearkened to the voice and obeyed what you said. So we set ourselves to be cheerful givers, prompt to do givers. Amen. Loving you at all times, Father God. Amen. Remembering our covenant in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. As we receive the offerings today, I like to put you in remembrance of some things, make you check out the New Life Church, right? Make sure you put everything in the right block and right clear so we can understand it when we process it. I want to say that, you know, I usually, one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 10:22, you know, talking about the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and God had no sorrow with it. And throughout the scriptures, we see the blessings of the Lord, how it flows and how it's tied to wealth and how understandable it is now that God wants you wealthy. God wants you wealthy. Now, you may not want you wealthy, or you might say, well, I've been doing everything and it's not working for me. If it's not working for you, always take your finger and hold it up and look at it like that, and then point it towards you. See? Because the scripture says, you know, God is not a man that he would lie. No, sir, buddy. You know, it's God's will that we prosper and that we be in good health right here where we are, right here. That's in 3 John. He talks about us. About his will for us, walking in prosperity. You see, walking in health and healing. That's what he wants. So whenever the decision is made that God has provided the grace for every need, the grace. He's willing, I like it, you know, when we're talking about over there in 2 Corinthians 9, we're talking about grace abounding, all grace abounding toward you. I think that it has been downplayed, even in our own thinking, what God has done for us. And by it being downplayed in our thinking, we don't remember the laws that God has set in motion for us. If you will, Lisa, put Galatians up, Galatians 6. Chapter, I believe. Probably the 7th verse, I want to say. See, he's talking to this church. He said, don't be deceived. You know, you can be deceived. See, He's saying God is not mocked. You'll never be able to say that God didn't answer what he said he would do. You see, he's saying that whatever a man soweth, we kind of talked about that last week, about seed and about the people with seed who knew what to do with seed. You see, a farmer know what to do with seed. You don't really have to be a farmer to know. You could just have a truck crop and know what to do with seed. See, so he used the perfect example. So when we plant a seed, we know a harvest is coming. So, you know, if we plant a tomato, we know tomatoes coming if we just hold on. See, most of the time, people don't hold on. See, they'll believe God for a minute and then don't know why God is not blessing. But God does things by season. That's what he's trying to get us to see right here. He said that if a man soweth, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, go come on to the next one, Lisa. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My, if I go a long time with this, just pull my coat. I'm going to walk by somebody, pull my coat and say, it's time to preach, brother. Time. Don't spend all the hell all this time taking up offerings. Don't nobody tell it. Keep it to yourself. But look, I'll tell you what, Lisa, go back to 6:6. First of all, when he's talking about this giving, he says, let him that are taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. He's saying that it's good to give to a person who laying the word out. Let him communicate. He's saying, so you're doing the right thing when you give. You know, we give into a lot of ministry ourselves, the church does, because we know they're giving out the word. See, we know they're doing a good work. So we know it's a good thing to give to those ministries. We become a partner with those ministries, parts of that ministry. We see to the word being preached, whether we put it out or whether someone else, we kind of tie to all of that. So when he gets into presenting this to this church at Galatians, he's telling them that, you can go to the next verse now. He said, you can believe that this law works of giving and receiving, or sowing and reaping. It's so allowing us to see that it's a crop time. If you start putting out the word, what we said last week, the word was, you remember? Seed. I like what Jerry Savelle always say, you know, he says, when you giving something, always giving an assignment. So he's saying the same thing. Yeah, you give whatever you give it an assignment. So when I'm giving this to the Lord, and his assignment is to bring me back something. If it's a car, if it's more money, give it an assignment. You tell that seed that you are planting what you want back. And I said last week, when you plant the seed, you plant it in your spirit. We talking about the different grounds, and we talking about that you plant. So we know that God's plan works like this. It's always faith. Faith is released through words. See? And if you can't operate in faith, you can't please God. So we begin to give the words accompanied by our offering. You see? And we know that that plan works because God is telling us he won't be mocked in this. And whatever man sow, that shall he also reap. So if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. If you give cheerfully, you see, like God is telling you to do, and you sow it bountifully, you reap bountifully. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Because of the fact, it's up to you. The way you want it back is the way you want to give it. When you find out it worked, you just begin to break up more ground. So I'm going to plant more. I'm going to give more. Because I know it works. I'm going to give and I'm going to get my crop back. because I'm going to be just like the pastor said, I'm going to wait on my tomatoes. I'm not going out and dig them up after I get them planted for 2 weeks and say, well, you know, I don't know what's wrong. It's not working. But I know that it has a time factor involved. And if I can make you wait and make you see God's, that was God's plan, not mine, you know. But it's based upon what God said. Because sometimes you can plant and you can believe God and you come right back. Sometimes it runs its course and it takes it a while to come. But you have to point to you, because if you find out from God what your hindrance is, God will tell you, say, no, I got it working just like it's supposed to work somewhere down the line. You're stopping it, you know. Sometimes people don't think about it, but we do some sin, and the sin that we do, it's okay with us. You know, like we get on the phone and talk about brother pastor, you know. You know, that's all right with you. It's all right with who you're talking to. But your seed out there is not all right with your seed, you see. Because, you see, the whole principle in this is in Mark 11, 23 and 24. You see, you have to walk in love. And he said when you stand praying, you forgive if you got something. And he's trying to keep you over on the love side, because when you start talking about the sisters and brothers, if it's not the edification, what you're doing is you're hindering your faith run. So you're stopping it yourself. And when the devil gets in there, you know, we talked about that last week as well. We talked about some of the things that hinders us. And some of the things that do hinder us is us believing that God is the cause for what takes place. And God is not the cause for what takes place. It's the devil that's the cause for it. So I'm going to stop. And I'm going to take the offering, because if I keep on going, I won't get a chance to preach, and I won't get a chance to take your offering either. And then you'll take your offering and go to Piccadilly, and you'll be saying, you know, I forgot to give Pastor. I'm going to pray over the offering. And if Hal don't take it next week, I'll pick up right there. You guys remind me. So you go back and you pick up where you left off in Mark 11, 23 and 24, and keep talking about the offering and receiving the principles of faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, we receive the tithes and offerings into the ministry today. We believe that every person that came here with a heart set to give into the ministry received back. We set ourselves in agreement with them today. Your word declares that while we are in agreement, Ed, that you're here in our midst to cause it to pass. We thank you that every word will come to pass that has been planted today in obedience to the word. Whatever a man sow of that shall he also reap. I believe some good seeds have been sown concerning return today. And I thank you, Father God. We are in agreement with them, and New Life Church is. We thank you that every offering that comes in this church will be to your glory. And we use it, Father God, in obedience to your word, while we are called this place excellence of ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen to God. Hallelujah to God. Where did Maestro go? He must have went he went to the men's room. I think I'll go over here and play until he come back. I don't know nothing but the boogie woogie. I don't know if that's good. Oh, man. It might be good for taking an offering, mightn't it?
Here we go.
All right, here we go. Let's get our groove on. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, y'all glad to give. You think I'll take another offering? Oh, my. I tell you what, he's more than enough. Amen. And the good thing about God is he's more than willing. He wants to have it more than we need it. The idea is that we can't get our heads right. We can't think like he thinks, that he wants us to have it, you know, and begin to look at the word and say, now, how do I work this, Lord? You see, how do, and just keep on looking till you get it. Don't stop. When you get hungry, you won't stop. See, and the more you see it, the more you look at it, the more it clears up. We call that revelation. So, boy, Lord, I see it. Amen. That's actually what the woman with the issue of blood did. You know, she was broken. She happened to see it. He said he was in town. He was healing. I see it. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. I see it. But you get stoned if you go out there. I see it. They just have stoned me, baby, because I'm going. Stoned me. I'm going. Amen. That woman was made every bit whole. So now she got a healing and she ain't broke no more. I'm supposed to dismiss you too, Matt? You got to go too? Oh, we got a team. Okay, you guys can go with Matt. Who's supposed to go with Matt? Amen. Because God is more than enough. Amen to God. Amen. Okay. Last week we was talking about people blaming God for their mistakes. You know, we started off, and the reason why we talked about people blaming God for their mistakes is because it's in today's economy, it's like a colloquium that's prevalent to every mistake. You know, God got it. You know, I'm going to give it to God. You know, he got my back. You know, he's in control. But we find out from the scripture the last week that's not true at all. You know, God left a choice up to us. You know, he said way on back in the Old Testament, he said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. He was smart enough to tell you what to choose. Choose life and live. But we find out that a lot of people have watered down the gospel so far to they think that everything happens, it happened for a reason. Yeah, it happened for a reason. All right. You need to go look at that reason. Yeah, the reason why it happened to you. Because, you know, the Bible said a thief come. He come to rob, kill, and destroy. He'll destroy everything you lay your hands to. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, more life. That's the whole reason he came into the land, that he brought light to men. Yeah. See, men were having natural things, but that light we found out was life. The light was life. He brought eternal life to a man. And God wanted man to have eternal life, not just to live on earth and die and have eternal death. We don't talk about eternal death, but it is eternal death. That's what Satan got, eternal death. He's dead, and he's dead and dead and dead. Everything he touches die. He wanted to die, but Jesus came that we might have that life, that we might live by it. I can see more clearly myself why God is having judgment, because every man will have a chance at life, see? You know, just want to say, well, you know, well, back in my day, they didn't do this or do that. Well, he'll just judge you by your day and what you had, see. And then you choose life or death. You see, it'll be issued out right there. But the Bible says, you know, there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So a lot of people going to miss it, and they missed it on purpose. They knew they missed it. You see, that's the good thing about God, you know. He give you all kind of chances, but it's up to you to miss it if you want to. You know, your choice in that. If you miss it and say, well, that's okay. I'd rather just go this direction. I'd rather, you know, just die. And we read that over and over in the Bible, you know, that people chose to die. They didn't choose to live, and they had the word of God concerning life and didn't walk in the light of it. That's bad, isn't it? Everybody in here say, I choose to live. Amen. I'm going to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Okay, so we use the book of James. You can write down these scriptures. Now, the reason I'll say write them down because we're doing discipleship type teaching or discipleship teaching. So you need to know as a disciple that you are going to run into these things we are talking about, and you know the way in and out when you're dealing with unbelievers and some believers you deal with. So you write down the book of James. We're talking about what God came to do and how God operates. So when we hear statements like that, we know exactly how to address it. Okay, put down James 1:13, and we started with that. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, because we found out some God do not tempt with evil. James 1:17, that one is every good gift, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father light. And, of course, John 10:10, write it on there too. It tells you plainly what the devil come to do, and it tells you plainly what God come to do. James 4:7, we talked on that one a good bit about submitting yourselves to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And continue to stay submitted to God, to the word. And we talked about how to submit, how to put the word out front, and submit to God and the good things of God. And we stopped off at this one, Romans 8:28. So when we stopped off, where scripture said we know all things work for the good, work together for the good for them that love God. And we brought out this point, it's for them that love God. A lot of people don't love God, and they say it's working for the good. You see, so it actually identifies the things that works for the good. And it says to them that are called according to his purpose. And we use Apostle Paul, you know, we use him for an example. We see it how many times he was whipped and laid out and got back up because he was working for his good. He was on assignment. He loved God. He was doing God's work. You know, some people don't do God's work and think it's working for their good. All right, if somebody stole something from you, you won't get it back. If somebody kill you, we're going to have your funeral. sometimes people use those scriptures, and they use them so loosely, they thinking that, well, this will work for me, but it's not working. Now, we stopped off right there. I got a couple more I'm going to give you, and then we're going to go on. Acts 10:38. Write this one down. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. So whatever Jesus got, we get. So when we go about doing good and doing what God tell us to do, then we have to understand that God does his part. He does his part. We do our part. He does his part. We can't expect God to do his part if we're not there to do our part. You see, he went about doing good and God was with him. You see, working with him. And the works that he was doing, he said they weren't his works. It was God, the Father in him, doing the works. And God is in you. He's in you. Not only is he in you, he loves you. And what Jesus said in 17th John, chapter of John, he said he loves you as much as he do me. You know, so a lot of people say, well, that's a big deal to swallow. Now, if he say he do, it does, he does. That's all it is to it. He loves you just as much. Just can you receive that? That's the thing, you know. Our unbelief stop a whole lot of things, you see. And so when we doubt, we do without. We don't get it. It's just all there is to it. But you see, but you're going to believe God and have what God said you can have. And when you begin to believe God and have what he said, that corresponding action is what bring it to pass. See, since I believe God, since he said he'll do what he said he will do. So I believe him. I act like it's true. See? That's all you do. If I'm believing God for a car, you see, I started making preparations for a car. I believe him. You see what I'm saying? I clean my driveway out. Here, my spot here right here. You see, I go in the house. You see, I begin to set things up. I got my credit card. Him to give me gas. You see, I'm setting myself. I believe he's coming. The car's coming. I believe God. You see, but when you don't believe God, it's never corresponding action. You see? Well, I asked him for a car. You know, what did you do? Well, I went on back to bed. And then I got up and turned on the television. I saw a couple of nice ones on there. But you know that you got to come on with it. You got to say, well, no, I'm thanking and praising my God because I believed I received when I prayed. Since I believed I received when I prayed, I began to act on that. I began to think of things I could do that corresponded with what I believed. You see, it's amazing to me how people do things in the natural or come up with things in the natural and make preparation. You know what I mean? I'm going to the game tonight. Y'all up in the closet looking for something to wear. The game tonight. Set that out. I'm going to wear that right there. No, I'm going to put that back. I think I'm going to. You're getting ready. That's natural thinking. But when it comes to the spiritual thinking, you know, you forget all that. You say it, don't believe it, and go do something else. But when you're natural minded like that, you just look at what you do. You say, well, you know, I believe this natural stuff. That's why I correspond to it. But you have to believe spiritual things the same way. You see? You have to stop for a minute and say, well, I'm not so used to doing spiritual things, but just let me stop here and think what I can do to line up with it. You see, now Holy Spirit help me. You're my helper. The Bible tells me you are. Help me line up with that. Help me get myself in order with that. And then give me some scriptures that I need to put with that so I can just bathe that with the word. I know to put thanksgiving and praise with it. I know to put that much with it. You know, I heard pastors tell me to do that much. But help me on this because I don't know how to put no scriptures with this one right here. Well, and I don't want to tell nobody, you know. Well, why you don't want to tell nobody? I'm believing for a husband, man. You might make him not look like I want him. I'm just kidding. But, you know, when you believe, a lot of people got stuff, you know. A lot of people write God letters and stuff. They just believe in God the way they like to believe God. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can write God a letter and talk to him all day. He'll read it, you know, and they just don't let the devil read it. So I'm going to write it in tongues. But you can write to him and you can believe God. You can put things out there and you can believe God. And when they come to pass, you can give the glory to God. Yeah, I'm thinking about this lady. What's the lady name? Pookie. You know, she wouldn't let nobody see that leg. She said, she would believe in God for healing. But she didn't want that unbelief to come in. She said, no, I didn't tell nobody about it. I believe in God for that leg. I didn't want them to see it because they're going to go, ooh, you ain't going to make it yet. No, just forget it. That's why I said a lot of people, they believe in God and they acted on the word of God, but they ain't letting everybody know what's going on. So you can do that, but correspond to it, your faith. Put your faith out there. I'm believing God. You know, don't go do something stupid. Charles Capp said, a guy, you know, got prayer for his eyes and stole his glasses down and stumped him. Somebody leading him home at night. Why you? Yeah, told you. Come on. Don't be no dummy. You know, it's okay if you take your glasses off every now and then, try to read something. You're thinking, well, let me take them off and read. And it's because I'm believing God for 2020. You, whatever it is that you're going. And then, you know, you put them back on. Every day, a certain time, you take them off at whatever time, and you put them back on. And after a while, when you can't see through them, you can leave them off. But come on now. Come on, wait on your harvest. What he did, he planted a seed and then stomped the seed. Well, go get some new glasses. That's all you can do. But we want to actually believe God with a corresponding action to what God said. I'm going to give you one more scripture so we can end this up that we was talking about. John 3:8, 1 John 3:8. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's the part I want you to see. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So anytime someone says to you or to me, God got it, you can't put it all over in God's hand. God has already paid the price for our freedom. He has already paid the price for our prosperity. He has already paid the price for eternal life. We have that now, right now. You know, a lot of people got eternal life. They don't know it because if you ask them, they're ready to go. Not yet. Not yet. You know, I'm just, it's an old saying, I'm going to stick around and see what the end going to look like. They want to see the end of the trip. But no, actually, you know, you got it. You know, he's paid the price for it. We have eternal life now. Yeah, we have it right now inside of us. Amen. The life is in us. Amen. Eternal life. Everything we have spiritually is inside of us. Amen. Amen. All is waiting. All our spirit is doing is waiting for the transformation to take place. Whatever you transform, if it's during the time of the rapture, that's when it takes. If you want to leave early, change then. But you know where you're going. You know you're born again. You know you're filled with the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to talk about, for a few minutes, we're going to talk about being spirit-filled. The power of being spirit-filled is what I want to talk about. Now, let's turn, Lisa, let's go with Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let me see what I got. Yeah, let's go with Acts 8. Acts, the book of Acts, 8th chapter, verses 5 through 12. Is where we'll be reading. This is the power of listening to and what Jesus talked about where the Spirit of God was concerned. Now in Mark 16:15 is the Great Commission that has taken place, has already been issued. So we use that as a foundation to go forth as believers to do the work. And once again, I'm giving you these things that we're talking about now. It because they'll come to play again in your life. And you're going to have to know how to deal with this. If you're going to be a disciple taught of the Lord, you have to know how to deal with this. And, you know, in reading through the book of Acts, I'm seeing now that the people that the disciples taught, they taught Jesus' doctrine and they knew what to do with it. When men and women got a hold to it, they knew exactly how to put it to work. You see, that's what I want what you guys to do. I want you to know how to put it to work. And I, like I said last week, in your circle, start, you know, if it ain't nobody, but, you know, Aunt Mary Lou and Cousin Johnny, go just deal with them. So then you guys come all over there. They see you come and say, uh-oh, here she come. And then you go in the house and say, uh-oh, here I am. Yeah, just come over here and talk to you about the Lord a few minutes, you see. And I'm not going to be long about it. You know, you give them a short sermon. Don't have to be no long sermon, but eventually, whoever the people you're dealing with, they'll come with some questions, and either they'll come with their doctrine sooner or later. They'll come with their doctrine. I told you guys last week how I deal with people, and they tell me about the Old Testament. You know, you have to know the Old Testament. If you don't know the Ten Commandments, you won't make it. You know, if you just keep this, you know, I told y'all. But the guy told me that I thought of his name. You know, I think he said he was from the tribe of Judah. Yeah, he was from the law. So he said that's what he wound up telling him, you know. We that lost tribe. I looked at him and said, whoa, y'all. I knew a tribe he was talking about, boy, he had lost tribe. Look at it. Said, no, we all found now. We once were lost. Everybody. But you run up on people, they have all kind of doctrine. But you need to be able to counter the doctrine. So that's what we'll see somewhat of today. And then next week, we'll just pick up right there and we'll go forward. We'll see today how Philip was, you know, see, because Philip started off just working in the ministry. And he wound up being an evangelist. And then when he wound up preaching. But the good thing about Philip's preaching that I really liked was that he was preaching the kingdom of God and he was preaching the name of Jesus. So you had to get it from them guys because Jesus taught them guys. See what I'm saying? He spent all that time telling about the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things and or his righteousness and his way of doing things and all these other things to be at. Well, this guy, because they didn't have no New Testament yet. You know, it hadn't been written yet. So he got it by word of mouth. They just preaching to these guys what Jesus preached to them. And then you see this boy, Philip. He gets a hold to it. And when he gets a hold to it, he go to preaching. So when he goes out preaching, guess what happened? People start getting saved. People start getting saved. But here the thing was, he preached what he knew. See, he went out and preached it. And the same thing we to do. And people got saved and baptized. And it's the healings took place. You see, but he's going out there doing what he know to do. And when they heard about what he done, guess what the council did? Sent Peter and John back. So now you go over there and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. See, they was there. See, they was following that teaching. Jesus told them what? After he talked to them, you go and wait on the Holy Ghost. You go up in the upper room and wait on the Holy Ghost. And see, when he come, you'll be endued with power from on high. See, them guys waiting on the power now, see. And here, John, here go Peter and John to go back to get the power to them. They born again, all right. They bathed in Christ. They ain't seen the healing power of God, but they going to carry the power to them now. See, they going over that, and they going, quite naturally, they going to preach. They get a chance to preach again. So they go there and they preach what they heard. And when they preach what they heard, then they tell them about the power. See, and a lot of those guys that wanted the power and women that want the power said, well, I want that power you're talking about. You see, we know Philip came down here. We know he told you this. He told you about the name of Jesus. You know, he told you about the kingdom. You know, he told you that, you know, you're to seek first the kingdom of God in his way of doing things. We're going to tell you a little bit more about the kingdom. Just whatever way the Spirit of God led them, see. We're just going to get down here and we're going to talk to you guys. And when we get through talking to you guys, you're going to have the same power that when we leave, you can go to work. You can do the work that we're doing. See, they're making disciples. They're doing the same thing we should be doing long time back. We should have been able to go. And like I told you, when we opened up, we looked at Mark 16. We didn't read it. 16:15-16, how they had the Great Commission to go and do that. You can just lean on the Great Commission. You can say, now, Lord, you commissioned me to go do this. I'm believing you, what you said. I believe you with me now. I know your spirit. I know I cannot see you because I'm in this natural body, but this person needs healing in their body. They need this. You don't think God going to pass you up and you out doing his work, do you? Then be strong enough and bold enough to lay your hands on him and demand whatever that is to leave. Demand it to leave. Say, now it's up to God now. I'm doing my part. See, you don't think God will do his part? All he's looking for is disciples who are willing to go out, just make themselves available to do what he said do. That boy Philip just such a good example. That's why, you know, we're talking about him. He's just such a good example of a person that came behind and came all the way up, just following that leading. He went as far as he could go, and he went back, see, because by now, James, the brother of Jesus, he's head the church. He's the pastor, see, and everybody come back and report to the church. Well, this happened, this happened. This took place where he went down there. We sent him so-and-so place, and then he went by the Spirit of God. He did this, did that, and they come back. And then they said, well, now that he done all that, you guys, you go down there and follow up, see where he left off. You know, and I'm thinking, that's what Pastor Cruz used to do me all the time. Brother Willie, we got so-and-so over there in the hospital. You just go over there and you just, and you go there, you talk to him, you pray for him. And I said, all right, Pastor. But that right, the thing about Pastor Cruz, he give you every step. And when you just don't talk about someone, Pastor, I believe I can make it from here if you just let me go. I believe I can make it. then he'll call you back, how did it go over there? Oh, me. I know, I guess, I don't know, maybe 25, maybe longer than years ago, I was starting a prayer group here at the church. So I told Pastor Cruz, I said, Pastor, I just really sensed the Lord would have us to have a prayer group starting a church. He said, yeah. I said, yeah. We was on the Alteria. We was over there. And I said, well, you know, and I'm thinking about, you know, maybe we get us a bus too, because we didn't have no bus when we was over there. And, he said, well, okay. He said, that sounds pretty good. Okay, let me see now. well, when you want to have it? I said, well, we'll start maybe like on Tuesday night. We'll just come in and we'll have prayer and we'll just, you know, we'll announce it and, you know, we'll see how many people just come to it. He said, well, okay. He said, it sounds pretty good. Then he went on, no, how you going to set that up? I said, well, Pastor, we don't just have people come in and we're just going to be praying in the Spirit for a while and, you know, just get started like that. So we just get it announced and get everything set up. When I open the door to go in, the first person is asked, Pastor Cruz. What's going on? I said, well, I know you're getting started. I just thought I'd come over. So I got ready to get everything started. Guess who got the mic? That's Cruz. We'll be having prayer here on Tuesday night. I bet that went on 2 years. Maybe longer than that. I don't know. Lisa was my secretary, and she might know how long. Pastor came. How long did he come, Lisa? Did he come every night? Then he finally told me one night he was going to go. He said, I'm going to let you do it next week. I'm going to let you do it. Yes, sir. He tickled me, boy. He had his hands on it. It didn't get away from him at all. He said, when you get through, I'll let you have it next Tuesday. I think we had moved off of Altieria. Oh, me. But now, God got us, see, when we doing what he said do. He said, I'll be there, I'll work with you, I'll go with you, and signs and wonders followed because he was there as they did what he told them to do. But see, he won't take over. He'll let you do them. He'll let you have the mic. You see, he'll let you do all the preaching. You see, you just study, and the things that I'm telling you guys now, just have these things ready when you cross a person, you see, and you present it, and once you present it, then you take the next step. So we got a hospitality committee over here. They like to get to know you, want you to come over. We want to be hospitable to you, you know, and see if you like our crowd and want to join up with us. The Lord leads you to it. Come on. If you don't, go on about your business. Pastor take you to Piccadilly. You know, if I tell him, he'll take you over there and feed you just for coming to be with us. The idea is growing disciples, getting the word out, and getting the work done. That's what God has called us all to do. And that's what we want to do. But we don't want to do it without that power. And the power, you see, always went, that Holy Spirit power. It's so many people that we deal with right now where we are. They've been saved. They've been water baptized, but not filled with the Spirit of God. They don't have the power, you see. But Jesus said, what? Wait until you've been endued with that power from on high. So we don't want to go and try to do a work without the power. We don't want to not even teach people without teaching the power. Now, they don't have to take it because there's so much bad doctrine out there concerning the power. See, the Holy Spirit. But we know for a fact, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water. Didn't he say that? He said, but he says, one coming after me, he going to baptize you with fire. You see, he going to baptize you in the fire. See, that's why Jesus told those guys that you wait. He said, I'm going to pray to Father and he's going to send him back. You see, he's going to send him back. We're waiting on that power that Jesus told us to wait on to go and do the work. He didn't allow those guys to do the work. But now, he prayed with them over there in John, I think, 20th chapter. He prayed with them, you know, to receive. Did nothing happen. They just said, well, the Bible said he breathed on them and said, they just received. They went and received, but they still waited on Jesus like he said. And on that ascension day, he went out there with Jesus to see him off. He told him the same thing. You go and you wait. You wait on that power. And when you get that power, then you go. And he told him to start where to start from, didn't he? Jerusalem, Samaria, what next place? You guys supposed to be knowing that right there. That was the last one, the uttermost portion here, the preacher. But anyway, he gave him that instruction. They got the power, and they did what? They stayed in Jerusalem. They went there. They stayed right there till the shaking came. And after the shaking came, they went on and did the rest of it. But you know how you can get comfortable? Amen. The good thing about the Bible, you know, it writes it all down. The pros and the cons. You know, so they didn't move out till that shaking came. And killing took place. Killings. They would start killing off Christians. And they caused him to move out and move further on with the gospel. Now, that should have never took place because, see, he told them where to go with it. And all you have to do is follow those leadings, and a lot of that stuff won't happen. And that did happen back during that time. But my point is not to go through all that, the history part of it, as much as to expel or to expose to you that power that you need before you can go and do that work. See? Now, it goes on to give us more concerning the power, which we probably get into next week and cover it, you know, as far as our prayer life is concerned, how much the extent, I should say, of that power, where it should go in our lives, us following that leading and using the Holy Spirit as our helper into the things that he called us to do. And we can get the job done. But it's all laid out for us. Not only for us just to receive it and set on it, but for us to receive it and keep it going, causing that work to manifest right in our midst. When the work begin to manifest in our midst, then we are encouraged to go further. But see, when you don't see any works, you're not encouraged to go further. You're more inclined to ask the Lord what's going on here. You know, how come this ain't working? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's then when it's not working, to stop and ask the Lord, you know, Lord, something wrong. It's not working like it's supposed to. What do I need to be doing here? Something, you know. More than likely, he'll show you where your mistake is, and it'll be in you. I said more than likely part, it'll be something you're doing. And he's not able to bag what you're doing. But we want to get it all done. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I do want to pray for some people today. And I told you we're gonna talk more about the Holy Spirit next week. I just told you we're gonna go further, but it was something else I wanted to talk. I didn't write it down. I ain't got it written, but I have it next week when I do come back. We'll just get that part in. We'll take another step further. I'll explain this to you again too about. When I had the quiet time working, just about every Sunday, was taking a 5-minute quiet time. Now, this quiet time is designed for us to be able to look inside where the Spirit of God lives in our spirit, to stop, look inside, and become familiar with the flow, because what the Spirit of God wants to do in all of us is to quicken us and quicken our thought life so we'll know that it's coming from our spirit to our thought life and be able, that's why I say whenever you get something, say it. Because too many times when I'm dealing with this, people will say to me, I thought that was just me. I thought that was me thinking that. It was you thinking it, but it was by the spirit. You see, some people don't think God will use their mind. You know, they think they gave it to them for them to play with. You know, but I mean, you know, when you make mistakes, you know, you say, well, you know, I thought of that. Yeah. Spirit of God gave it to you. You thought of it, but since you knew that wasn't none of you. But when I asked you to do it, you think think that was me. You know, I thought that was just me then. Well, yeah, come on now. This is the way people think, though. It's just the way they think, you know. They just say, well, you know, you're in the right setting. You say, well, that's just me. When you're out of the setting, you say, well, you know, that was the Lord talking to me. It beats all I ever seen, but it happens with people. So we'll come back to that. We'll come back to giving more time, but to keep that in your thinking, so when you're at home and you're reading your Bible, you're having your prayer time, do all you can to stop and give some quiet time. Stop. and said, and then say it out of your mouth, Lord, I'm stopping to hear you, to hear your word. You minister to me. You see, you can have what you say. If you don't ask, you have not. My brother. So we want you guys to start asking. And when you get something, you can come and tell us again. You say, I prayed this morning, and I waited, and I sat there and I waited. And the scripture says, if we can be still and know. We say we can be still and know God. We can know his voice, too, if we can get still enough. Now, I preached that to you guys. I told you all, testimony after testimony, that most of the people who develop a prayer life, they know how to stop and listen to God. You see? They just don't stop and get up and go and do what they got to do. They realize they're not as smart as God. They do all the talking and then get up and then thank God didn't hear them or did hear them and go on and do what they're going to do. Talking to the smartest man in the world, you told him all your plan and then listen to his. That's bad. But you just stop and say, well, you know, God, you know all things. You know what I was going to say before I say it. So let me just stop here now and listen to you for a minute. Practice. As my mama always told me, practice make perfect. So you're going to have to practice to get this to working for you. Now, anybody that needs prayer, I got my wife here. You're about to, okay, Jack, I got my wife. You're going to lay in. You're going to fall all out on the floor. nobody going to throw rag over you. He said, dude, let me fall out. Let me fall. Anybody else? I need prayer for anything. Like, you want us to be in agreement with you. You just got to pray. We just stand in agreement with you if you already prayed. But you don't want to negate what you're doing. We just get with you and stand with you. Amen. Okay.
That's what I said. I don't know why I missed him, but he tried to pray some congestion this week. Mm-hmm. I'm still believing
mm-hmm.
God that I'm healing Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord. Now, remember what we talked about. We talked about today. We talked about God's system, how we plant, we wait on the crop. Amen. Amen.
It was in my spirit to call you up here. Mm-hmm. Amen. To get the Tuesday night prayer group to come and stand with you for your manifestation of your healing. I believe God has healed you.
I am healed.
You are
amen.
Healed.
I am
healed.
Amen.
We want to agree with you for the manifestation to come.
Yes.
Now.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Copeland prayer warrior called me, and I stayed free for 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up. I went to bed. Woke up at 2 o'clock, full edge, pain, full
mm-hmm.
for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused me to have weak,
mm-hmm.
real weakness
mm-hmm.
in my equilibrium.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it can't come back.
Right, just hold fast.
It can't. I mean, that's the best. Mm-hmm. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word. Jesus mm-hmm. has already taken everything I have from his body.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm fighting there. It can't
mm-hmm.
come back.
Just hold fast. You want the whole group to come?
Yeah, the Tuesday night, I call them the spiritual bloodhounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So look at that. Call them for... That one of them, I see the gyrus over there. Come on up here, bloodhound. Come on, you guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Y'all come too, Abbott. You and your wife, y'all shows. Y'all make Wednesday too, don't you, Abbott? I know y'all. So that's what Peggy wants us to do.
Mm.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bruko Doda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mudagasha. Muguru Dosha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm getting James 5, guys. Let's just lay our hands on her. Just lay your hands on her. As scripture, that's what the scripture says for us to do. Lay hands on you. Amen. Pray the prayer of faith. Amen. And God will do the rest. He'll raise you up. He said he'll raise you up. He already got you healed. I'm believing that God will restore. See? Restore from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Restore, causing that coming, that 100% to come to pass. A father in obedience to your word. Amen. We're just laying our hands on Pat now. Amen. Amen. And hallelujah. The prayer of faith is that by your stripes she was. By your stripes she was. The prayer of faith is agreeing with her where she stands, Father. Hallelujah. She believes she healed and received it. We believe she healed and received it. Now we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you that your power is now being released. Amen. And that full manifestation, restoration is taking place now. It's taking place right now. Right now. Even as we speak. Even as we believe we receive that. Amen. Amen. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.
Can I just tell my testimony? When I got diagnosed with cancer, I had thyroid cancer about 11 years ago. They called me on Good Friday, told me. And she asked me, was I afraid? I said, no, I'm not afraid because I've been taught the word how to believe God. And so I said, no, because my God already healed me. He's not afraid of the word cancer. So, you know, I went through a procedure, and I, these prayer partners right here, the same one praying for you, pray for me.
Thank you, Lord.
I didn't know I was in the world at one time. Couldn't speak, didn't have a, I didn't have my voice, but we believe God, and I'm here 11 years down the road.
Amen.
Never think about ever returning to this body, because I know when God do something, he do it well.
Amen.
And so we stood on the word, and the word works. I was taught it. I thank God for this man and this woman right here that brought me to where I am today in Pastor Crew as well, but they started it. So just hold fast.
Amen. Amen.
But I know the enemy will come to your mind, but you got to always put the word of God and put the enemy on the run.
In the name of Jesus, I just feel lit.
I got healed of it for 2.5 weeks. And I went to bed. I saw it. I woke up at 2 o'clock. Attack worse than
what it was. Come back. It's not. It is.
Lyme symptoms.
It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Praise and thank God.
Yes.
It's gone. It's gone. He got to leave your body. It's gone.
Yes, in Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name.
Thank you,
thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, stand up. Let me let you guys go. We'll be meeting for prayer Tuesday. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for every work that was done here today. We just give you the power. We receive your power. We give you honor and glory. And we just take the victory. In Jesus' name, victory is ours, and we take it. And now, ministering spirits, go before us and make our way safe and prosperous. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.